Road congregation. And it's a pleasure to be here, as always. Do you all watch a lot of TV? I don't watch a lot of TV. It just, especially the news, it just depresses me to watch the news. It seems like every night it's just a litany of crime and just bad stuff. And so I don't watch a lot of TV news, but I do tend to get a lot of my news off the internet, at different sites, reputable sites, but different sites. And so I can edit what I watch and see on there and kind of filter that down a little bit. So it's not quite so depressing, but I don't think anyone could escape the events of last week when the things that happened in Paris, that terrible thing, and locally in the news what happened here in Kansas City, where a woman was on trial, a mother of a child was on trial all week long for locking this child in a closet, basically starving her to death. I just find that unimaginable. What do people think? How do they justify that? How do they rationalize those kind of behaviors? And this stuff happens on a daily occurrence. And if you listen to a lot of it, it will just depress you. But how do we explain, or how do we comprehend this kind of behavior where people will strap on a bomb and walk into a crowd of innocent people and just cause as much damage and as much carnage and kill as many people as possible? I don't understand that mindset. Some of it is attributable to mental illness. This woman who did this to her daughter, she had to be mentally ill for that, to be able to rationalize that kind of behavior. We have, in this country, a change of culture taking place. Proverbs, the 14th chapter, the 12th verse, says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." And that's where we're headed. We have now abortion, tremendous amount of abortion going on, where body parts are sold for money. Body parts of little baby embryos are sold for money. We have talk of legalized euthanasia, legalized infanticide, murders. Life is cheap. Life has been cheapened to nothing. We are destroying the sanctity of life itself. And in its place, we have something that Proverbs talked about. It is the way of death. It is a culture of death that we're looking for. This is very depressing to me to talk about this, but it's not my real point. But we casually and frequently degrade living. How we got to that point, I don't know, but that's where we're at. And so you begin to wonder, it's like, is our life worth it? Any value at all? What is the value of a life? What is the what is your value? What is my value? Or is it nothing? Well, it is worth something. 1 Corinthians 1 and 20 says, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" And that's what we're looking at. We're looking at foolish wisdom that man and our culture has brought to us. In Matthew 12, we have a story of Jesus healing a man's withered hand in the synagogue, and the Pharisees try to trap Jesus. Starting at the 9th verse, I'll read through the 12th verse. This is Jesus. "Now when he had departed from there, he went into the synagogue. And behold, there was a man with a withered hand. And he asked him, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?' That they might accuse him. Then he said to them, 'What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on a Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath.'" The Jewish teachers had corrupted many of the commandments that was given to Moses by misinterpretation. They misinterpreted them too broadly sometimes, too narrowly sometimes. But they erred in interpreting the fourth commandment here too narrowly. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, Exodus 20 and 8. And Jesus points out to them very clearly, very correctly, that if you would show an act of kindness to a sheep, a common sheep on the Sabbath, how much more important it is to demonstrate equally, similar kindness to one that was made in the image of God himself. To one whom Christ had come to die for. To one who had been promised a hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. And so by using that example of that common sheep, Christ points out to their error in their interpretation of that fourth commandment. Again, Matthew 12 and 12, therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. It was the correct interpretation to the proposition of how much more value then is a man than a sheep. Sheep were common, useful creatures back then in those times. They were prized and they were valued. They were worth something. They were worth something for their wool, for their meat, and certainly for the use and sacrifice to God. So they were of something of value. In Numbers 31, when the Lord, through Moses, commanded Israel to go to war against the Midianites, they took as spoils from the Midianites 675,000 sheep. That's a bunch of sheep. But it was valuable. The Lord gave Job twice as much as they had before. He had 7,000 sheep when he started, and at the end of all his trials, the Lord blessed him, and now he had 14,000 sheep. He was a rich man. Part of that richness that he had in those sheep, he was referred to as the greatest of all the people in the East, Job 1 and 3. The value of man back in those days was of a common slave was 30 pieces of silver. It's what they paid Judas to rat out Jesus Christ, to betray him. The chemicals in our body were 98% water or something like that, but the rest of the chemicals are worth maybe a couple bucks, maybe $5. Our parts of our body that we can donate, they're worth a lot more. Maybe 100,000, maybe 200,000. I don't know what they go for these days. If they harvest our organs for transplants, they're worth a lot of money. But are we to judge a man by his parts? The man's worth by his parts? No. Can a value even be placed upon a man? Yes, absolutely. We try to do it every day. I am the greatest, said Cassius Clay. Muhammad Ali, too. Those who don't know who Cassius Clay was. I don't know if anybody's here that young, but I was so awesome today. You know, Friday I took a test. And I had 35 people. I had the top score in a class. I was like, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Well, I went from hero to zero in about 30 seconds because I'd forgotten to clock in on my time, and my boss-to-be chewed me out pretty good there. He didn't like that. So I was a rock star for a second there, and I was really killing it, but I got put down in my place. So there's an old French proverb that says, a man's value is that what he sets upon himself. So I determined I was pretty awesome there. I used that French proverb on myself. Not so much. Because the Lord said this in Romans 12 and 3. Man tends to think of himself more highly than he ought to. You know, to value himself more highly than he ought to. That Pharisee we just talked about in Luke 18, he said, thank God I'm not like this other man over here. Compare ourselves to each other. Thank God I'm not like this man over here. And the other man says, Lord, be merciful to me. God tells us that we are more valuable than many sparrows and the not fear in Matthew 10 and 31. More valuable than the ravens, the birds that God feeds himself, Luke 12 and 24. Here's the point. It's what God considers valuable that makes us valuable. It's not what we do, not what we think, not what your neighbor thinks. It's what God thinks about us that considers our value. It's not measured in our status among men. It's not measured in our riches. Not even our good looks. No. None of that counts. The thing that sets us apart from the plants and the animals and not our technology, not even our opposable thumbs. It's none of those. But it's our will. And it's our emotions. The intelligence that we were given. We can be pretty reasonable sometimes, but we can be pretty unreasonable a lot of times about the way we do run our lives. We can be a reasonable creature in the sense that we're capable of knowing and loving and worshiping and glorifying God like no other person, no other animal on the planet. It's that that makes us more valuable than a sheep or a rock or a tree, anything like that. But we can be the most stubborn, the most ignorant, the most unreasonable people, just like those stupid sheep who won't come in out of the rain and they drown. We can be just like that. God has given us some distinctively human tools so that we can reason, so that we can judge and decide for ourselves. We can say, yes, yes, there is a God, but we are equally free to say, no, there is not a God. That's what makes man especially unique among creation. It seems like we're sometimes blinded by our achievements, our innovations, our discoveries, our intelligence. Science and technology and personal values have replaced God for many, many people. It's all about us, all about me, is the thinking by many today. It is a delusion that we in our civilization is so advanced and so capable of overcoming any challenge that we might face. It's a delusion. We're not able to do that. Or that situations, economic, social, political, whatever, determine how we respond based on our own set of self-defined morals. It's what we think is right. It's what we think is correct. What we think is moral. And it seems like only when we're in desperate need, those times when we need help, that we sometimes realize that all of these things that are around us, the science and technology, and how smart we all are, cannot provide satisfaction, cannot provide the answer to what our problems are. And it requires something beyond our limitations to a source whose power and mercy is far greater than our feeble care and limited power of human beings possess. And faith enters into that realization. The virtue of faith is that it is a thought-provoking, hopefully insightful process explains the value of man to each one of us. David understood this when he wrote in the 139th Psalm, the 14th verse. He got it. David got it. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. David got it. He knew his value and where it came from. In spite of our imperfections and our limitations, we are so fearfully and wonderfully made. We're like a fine piece of art, despite our imperfections. Like a fine piece of art. Sometimes even an antique worth of art is worth $1 million. The material is composed of is worth a couple of bucks. Likewise, man is a valuable work of art of the Creator Himself. Man is perhaps the most subtle and graceful example of God's power. Sometimes not, but sometimes we are. We are one of His miracles that He created to manifest all of His attributes in His own image, a miniature specimen of the universe. We were made in His image and after His likeness, Genesis 1:26. I think inherently our soul knows who made us. We just have to come to that realization sometimes. It takes a while for some of us. And if and when, and it's big if and it's a big when, we acknowledge that. That law, that knowledge, that insight can only lead to the Creator, the Lord God Almighty. Man only acquires his true value by his relationship with God. Until then, we're worth the parts, whatever they get for our bodies. We're worth really nothing. We're worth dirt because that's where we came from. It's that relationship that we have with the Lord that makes us valuable. Unbelief decreases our value only to the matter of this, of a physical being, of a physical thing. A temporary and transitory animal life. Its value, nothing more than dirt. Belief leads to the meaningful relationship and the realization of the potential that we have that the Lord has given us. We now have purpose. We now have a goal that only comes from knowing God and knowing God's will for us. Belief leads that man to be the image of Christ, to acknowledge Him as Lord, to glorify Him as God, and glorify the creation. And by doing that, we attain a value of the highest of the high. No other way. To acknowledge what David wrote in the 139th Psalm, that your soul, that my soul knows very well how marvelous His works are. So as I close, consider your value today. What are you worth? Are you worth something to the Lord? I hope you are. But if you think you're not worth something, or you've come to that realization that you've got an emptiness inside you, that your soul is telling you that you belong to the Lord, you were made by the Lord, and He wants you to come home, to be reconciled back to Him. There's a way to do that. Well, it's not lost. You still have hope. So we offer the Lord's invitation. It's not Gregory Road Church of Christ invitation. It's the Lord's invitation to be reconciled back to Him, either through the act of baptism or if there's something you need to bring before this congregation, through prayers or concern that we can help you with. Come forward as we stand and sing.